We're certainly glad that you're here tonight to study again from God's Word. Good to have everyone here tonight. Good to have, it's like Arion here tonight. She's grown up. Glad to see her. We have the ladies' devotional after the services tonight. This has gone on now for a number of years. Very successful. Sometimes you wonder how things will go. I mean, we've had group meetings before at different times. It seems like the Friday night class and maybe the ladies' devotional class have lasted longer than seems like anything else that we've tried that's been extracurricular. And certainly we're glad for that and glorify God in that. Several weeks ago, my nephew Jackson, he was running cross country, and he needed some new shoes. Needed some shoes that had spikes in them. So we were talking there on a Sunday night after services. We had went over and told them that we'd work that out. Go take him over the next couple of days and get him some shoes that had spikes. And while Lynn and Jacqueline, they were talking about that, Ginger comes over and sits in my lap. And grandpas or fathers can experience this. You sort of feel like the wounded wildebeest that is getting ready to be pounced on. Because she starts working on me because she knows that Jackson is going to receive something. So she tells me how much she needs this object that she wanted us to buy. So I said, all right, so sort of blew it off, and then she'd go back, and she'd grab my face. She'd say, listen, I need this. And then when we went to get Jackson's shoes, she was there, and she was talking to me again, working me again, so how much I need this object that she wanted. And when I thought of that, I thought of a lesson to prepare. I'd been doing a couple of parables and thought about this parable of Jesus just because of the persistence of Ginger. So we want to talk about this tonight in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. It says that he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, a judge, who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. But he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming, she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? But I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? The parable. We talk about the parable. Maybe the parable of the persistent widow. If you have an old King James Bible, I've heard people entitle it the parable of the importunate widow. Or maybe the parable of the unjust judge. But just to get to the idea of the parable, the idea of the parable is prayer. You could just write down the side there, the side of your Bible, verses 1 through 8. The idea is prayer. That's what he's talking about, even though you might not think that in the beginning of this. What we want to do now is we want to go back and do as we have done with maybe the parables of the last week or so, and look at this from the standpoint, first of all, of the context. It's important that we keep things in context, and that's what we want to do first of all tonight. We want to look at the context. The context before this is found in Luke chapter 17, verses 22 through 37. Luke 17, verses 22 through 37. Luke 17, verses 22 through 37. Luke 17, verse 22, it says, "And he said to his disciples, 'The days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look there, look here. Do not go away and do not run after them. For just like lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky and shines to another part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be, so will the Son of Man be in his day.'" One of the first things we see regarding this is that the coming is clearly going to be seen by all. We also see when he will come. It says in verse 25, "And first he must suffer many things and be rejected by his generation." So he's going to come after he suffers. And then in verse 26 through verse 30, we see that it's going to be unexpected or unannounced. In verse 26, it says, "So it just happened in the days of Noah. So it will also be with the sons of man. There will be eating, drinking, marrying. There will be people given in marriage. And that day that Noah entered the ark, the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building. And on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will just be the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed." He tells them to flee. This is probably the most difficult part of this. Maybe to flee from attachment to life. But here we see in verse 31 through verse 33, it says, "On that day, the one who is on the housetop and whose goods are in the house must not go down and take them out, and likewise the one who is in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it, whoever loses his life will preserve it." And then the separation of the righteous from the wicked in verse 34 through verse 37. It says in verse 34, "I tell you, on that night there will be two in one bed, one will be taken, the other will be left. There will be two women grinding in the same place. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other will be left. And answering, they said unto him, 'Where, Lord?' And he said to them, 'Where the body is, there also the vultures will be gathered.'" Also in the context, how does this relate to prayer? We see, first of all, if it is while in coming, it may seem that God has forgotten. It may seem that God has forgotten his promise. Over in 2 Peter and in chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, we looked at verse 10 this morning. We want to go back tonight and look at verse 3 and 4. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, it says, "Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation.'" So we see the danger of giving up. We see the danger of losing heart. We see the danger. We see the danger of not praying. What to do? What to do while you're waiting? What to do while you're waiting for the second coming? In the Wycliffe Bible Commentary, it says, much of the preceding discourse is a parallel to Matthew chapter 24. But this parable is unique to Luke. It shows that he is making an immediate application of Jesus' prophecy, readiness for his return. Readiness for his return will be conditioned by prayer. And prayer shows that we are maintaining our faith. In verse 8 again, verse 8, chapter 18, and in verse 8, it says, I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Will he find faith on the earth? So that's the context. So what's the point? What's the point of the parable? Sort of an odd parable in some ways. When he spoke a parable to them, the men always ought to pray and not lose heart. We see from this, especially from Matthew Henry's commentary, that this parable has the key hanging at the door. And that is, this is the key, this is the key. The key to the parable, to always pray, to be continual in praying, to pray at all times. It says in verse 7, they cried out day and night. They were not negligent concerning that. The flip side of this is that you're going to lose heart while you're waiting for the second coming, while you're waiting for the second coming of Christ. And that is, you're not going to pray. You're going to get old to you. You're going to grow weary. The International Version says that you're going to give up and you're going to become discouraged. But this describes the case of one who has been long making a request of that which has not yet been granted. And it encourages him to continue in the presentation of his petition in spite of the apparent uselessness. The need for prayer, like the widow, we like the widow have needs that we cannot supply for ourselves. So now the parable. The parable has three characters to it. Three characters in the parable. The first character is the unjust judge. See in verse 2. Verse 2. It says, in a certain city there was a man who did not fear God and did not respect man. So it tells us something about this character. No fear of God. No respect for man. Therefore, he's not going to show any mercy towards anyone. No interest in justice. And probably notorious for taking bribes. A second character is the widow. The widow is found in verse 3. It says, there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. Give me legal protection from my opponent. Just like the widows at that time, defenseless, helpless. She has an adversary that is continually troubling her. Whatever the situation is, this is really troubling her. And she continues on persistently with the judge. Many writers have noticed that the exceeding desolation of the state of widowhood in the East and the constant exposure to all manner of oppression. And I'm sure that's not only true of the East, but true of a lot of widows over time. And trouble that they have. She has She has nothing to offer. She has nothing to bribe the judge here at this time. She doesn't know what she's going to do other than the fact she has one tool, and that is that she is going to be persistent regarding the judge as to what she's going to do. And the third character in the story, of course, is the adversary here with the widow. The story itself is the widow's petition. She says here in verse 3, to avenge me of my adversary. This is troubling her. This is troubling her. She wants to be out of this situation. She is continual. She is persistent in this. In verse 5 it says, and yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. We'll talk about that word in a minute. Very interesting, the word there, the wording. And even though she continued for a while, the judge did nothing. Nothing. Then the judge's response finally to this parable. At first, it did nothing to help her. Delayed what help he did give. In verse 4 it says, for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, here's what I'm going to do. He's concerned only with his own convenience as to what is occurring here with the widow. And the persistence would weary him. That's what some of the older versions say. The American Standard Version says that. You're going to wear me out. I think it's A.T. Robertson that talks about the wording here means that it may mean lest she assault me. What the idea here is. She is wearing this man out. Robertson says here, literally, to beat under the eye in his word studies. The application of the parable, very quickly. It says that shall God not avenge his own elect to cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? This is important to the parable. And that is, what we're not talking about here is a comparison between God. We're not talking about a comparison between God and the unjust judge here. What we're talking about, what Jesus is trying to show us, he's talking about a contrast between God and the unjust judge. About what this judge was willing to do for this woman. Even though he was unjust, even though he might have been crooked, even though he did the things that he had done, the contrast is how good that God is to us and what God is going to do, what God is going to do for us. I think I jumped ahead here regarding this. The argument, William Taylor says in his book concerning the parables, the argument is not from the much or the less to the greater, as from the worse to the better. And as this woman obtained her request, so can we. She intended to wear the judge down. He was unjust. He was uncaring. How much more with our great God, who loves us, who cares for us, who is concerned about us, who is merciful and caring and wants to avenge his people. Even though he appears, he's not interposing. So God is not to be compared to the unjust judge. God is to be contrasted with the unjust judge. Will the Lord find faith on the earth? What? Will the Lord find faith on the earth? Will the Lord find the faith that people are not going to give up? This is a question in verse 8 that goes back to verse 1. Are these folks going to lose heart? Are they not going to give up? Are they going to continue in prayer even though they have to wait for the second coming of the Lord? The faith that God means what he says and what he's going to do concerning Jesus Christ. And faith that God will answer, though it takes some time. The inference from the parable is not that we should be heard because we persevere in prayer, but rather we should persevere in prayer even when the answer appears to be long delayed, because it is God to whom we are praying, and we know that he is always willing to bless and will ultimately give us that which is best. Wait on God. Continue to pray. There's one more parable here that I'll look at for just a second, then we'll close our lesson for tonight. The other parable that's close to this is about persistence as well. In chapter 11 of Luke, in verses 5 through 13, it says, he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you that he will not rise and give to him because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Then the familiar part that most of you know. So I say to you, and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock. And it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The context here was, Lord, teach us to pray again. And again, this is a contrast, not a comparison. And if the request of an unmerciful and uncaring person finally is granted, how much more will a great God bestow upon us? The parable. The answer to the parable is simply just about prayer. But at the same time, that's something we lose sight of many times in our life. We get so busy because of all the things that we accomplish in our lives. We don't pray to God unless there comes a point in time to where we need God maybe from a health standpoint or maybe from a financial standpoint. But he's saying, like this widow here, you be persistent in prayer. We'd encourage you tonight that if you need to respond to the gospel by being baptized into Christ or to come back to your first love, we invite you to come now while together we stand and we sing.